Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Afternoon, Bahamas, and welcome to another exciting edition of Nailed It on Guardian 96.9 FM. My name is Leonard Sands.
And my name is Debbie Deal.
And today, we're going to talk about construction.
We are, but I would like to do something first. We very seldom do this, but I would like to list off all the numbers that you can actually contact us on, because last week when I got home, my broker contacted me and said, didn't have a pen, and Leonard was doing the thing. And so I'm going to do this now.
Yes,
so make sure everybody can call that wants to call. So you could reach us at 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and Family Islands at 242-300. I think that's 372.
That's 5720.
5720.
300-5720.
Blind as a bat, sorry. And our text line powered by BTC is 422-4796.
All right. So, in starting off this conversation about construction, we often hear persons talk about construction in a very cavalier way. Obviously, we in the Contractors Association take construction a lot more seriously. Mm-hmm. It is the lifeline of the thousands of men and women who earn income to take care of their families by doing that nature of work. Just to give the listening audience a brief perspective on the magnitude and scale of construction in our country, we have, I filtered our BCA membership listing just by Nassau.
Okay.
And I came up with 142 registered members of our association in Nassau. And
that's
I then.
For this year? You're counting?
This was 2024.
Oh, 2024. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So okay. This is just a Nassau listing of contractors.
Okay.
And looking at the reported annual turnover of the 142 members in the association. Mm-hmm. The total value of activity for those 142 members was $786,125,000.
Wow.
It's a lot of money. Now, for those persons who say, and they often say this, because see, Debbie, you get one call when you leave, and I get the other calls on Facebook and stuff. So,
yeah.
Oh, Leonard, you're talking crap. Oh, you don't know what I'm talking about. You're exaggerating. I will pull up the second quarter report of the National Statistics Institute, the Bahamas National Statistical Institute, Ministry of Finance report, second quarter 2024, where it reported the quarter's activity, total construction for activity, value of construction, for 2024. Just so persons could do a little math, and we love to use a little math here. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to move past the number of projects, and go into total value of projects. Second quarter, yeah. Second quarter total value. That's 85. I'm on the wrong page.
Next page, maybe.
Yeah, because I read it before.
I know, you even showed me.
Yeah.
I read it too.
I think we're around $546 million for that quarter.
Yes, because it was half a billion.
Yeah. So, Debbie, how much quarters are in the year?
Four.
There are four quarters in the year. The last time I checked, $536
billion.
Odd times four is $2 billion. It's also reported in 2024, going into 2025, construction was the second largest contributor to the Bahamas' GDP, passing banking for the first time in as many years.
And all that with unlicensed contracts.
So when we talk about why this is important to us and why it should be important to you, the construction activity in this country underpins the entire economy of this country. Our budget is made up of income that comes in through all sectors, construction being one of them, tourism, banking, farming, all kind of industries. But when you consider that we're the second largest sector that contributes to our gross domestic product, it should be taken seriously. So I want the listening audience to appreciate that while we sometimes joke and have a lot of fun on this, we're really bringing home the importance of this industry, which demands the level of importance that we try to give it.
Another thing is that banking, you mentioned banking, and you mentioned, what was the other?
Banking, tourism. Light industry.
Right. Okay, so if you think about contractors, all right, that's how much business was done, right? But that's also materials that we have purchased in this country.
In this country, domestically.
Sand, rock, blocks,
cement, sheetrock, tile.
We really only bring in, and well, obviously somebody brings it in for us to buy it.
But we purchase it here.
Yeah, but we only... I as a contractor, only bring in things from here, from away.
That we don't have here.
Right, that we do not have here. So if you think about the fact that that's what we do and how much we spend back into the economy, right? And then you think about, let's say, hotels who generally buy from away. And generally the money that they have goes to away because that's where the parent company is, right? Our economy... Ours stays here. This is where our construction industry stays and where our money stays.
And part of the importance of appreciating that is that if you want to stimulate the economy, you recognize that infrastructure projects stimulate the economy because if you hire contractors who are here to build the roads, the money on the salaries to the workers, the aggregate, the asphalt is purchased here. You know, we don't purchase asphalt away. So that activity, that money, is going to stay in
here,
the economy. So
correct.
I think we're trying to widen the conversation for the listening audience to appreciate that construction is just not the passion that we talk about. Construction is not just the craftsmanship. Construction is part of the national economy of the country. Whether we appreciate it to the degree that is necessary, it is a part of the national economy.
Correct.
Given that fact, it's why we are so fervent about our agitation for legislation and licensing. And we have the legislation now, but the licensing needs to happen.
Yeah.
Because we appreciate the fact that anything we do to improve and add value to this sector... will only grow the economy. And we want growth in that economy
sector. Could you imagine how much those figures would be if the persons who kept coming to this country looking for licensed contractors, if we were licensed, what that actually would be?
Yeah, I've already gone on record as saying that I thought the number would be double or triple, because you can't appreciate the value of what you cannot capture until you can scale it. So let's say, if I want, let's say there's a project happening here, right? And I often say, these are the people who are courageous enough to come in a marketplace where there's no regulation and build.
Right.
Not everyone in that risk cycle is that courageous.
Right.
Some persons don't want to be courageous in that way.
Well, some people can't be.
Some people can't afford to be that courageous.
No, not even that, because they can't, because the lender insists
that the
on
person
a
be
licensed.
Yeah.
So it's their financing requires it, so they have no choice.
They have no choice. Yes. So this jurisdiction would be disqualified from that. But in the wider context, we need the appreciation to be that whatever we could do to improve the transparency of the industry adds value to the participants in the industry. We need contractors to appreciate that whatever improvements happen in construction adds value to their individual businesses. And we often say this, it is a difficult sell to tell somebody, I want to build your home, I want to do your shopping plaza, your business, your shop, your whatever. I have a business license. But that person is smart enough to say, but I read here that, you know, contractors should have a license. Where's your contractor's license? And you say, well, I don't have a contractor's license because the board's not been appointed and all that stuff, which is fact. But you're now asking persons to rely on your good faith, your nature, and all that other stuff when they shouldn't have to, because if we talk about it all the time, Debbie. When I walk into my doctor's office, I'm going to see his medical certificate on the wall. I know he's the person who I can trust the information he's telling me. We don't have that guarantee as contractors to convey to the clientele. And so that's a disadvantage.
Because, you know, again, if somebody asks you, do you have a license? No, and you say no. We don't just stop at there. No, we say no, and because of
this,
but other people, but other contractors just say no.
Well, some say yes.
Oh.
No, I'm.
Do they get their crayons and write it right there?
I don't know.
How do they do that?
They say yes because, and you know, you and I always have this conversation. They say yes because they still don't appreciate the fact that the business license is not a contractor's license. So it's not that they don't know they're incorrect. They think they're right. I'm telling you. I get the calls all the time, but I have a license. Yeah, you have a business license. So
the person on the side of the street that sells things on the side of the street in a tent that has a business license.
Are you the same thing?
You are.
Or I ask, one of my friends, we had a conversation about this, and I said, okay, let me say this. Let's take it back this far. If you believe your business license is a contractor's license, what did you have to prove to get it? Now, go apply for a medical license. No, go apply for a business license to operate a medical facility.
Well,
they're going to ask you for some different criteria.
You could probably get to operate a medical facility to operate it, but you would have to hire licensed doctors. And licensed everything.
Everything licensed.
Yes.
So the thing what we're trying to say is that there's a qualifying standard that's not a part of the business license application. And because there's no qualifying standard a part of the business license application, it cannot be a contractor's license.
No.
Because you didn't have to prove that you're a contractor.
And when you get your business license, nowhere does it say that you need $1 million liability.
Nowhere does
it say that you need contractors all risk insurance. No. Nowhere does it say any of that. You just have a license.
If something happens,
you know, you snooze, you lose.
Yeah. You have a license to operate a business.
Yeah, that's it.
That's what you have. But my fear and my concern and what we're trying to express today on the show is that the public needs to impress upon the government officials
correct
to make that right.
Yes.
You know, we're going to continue to advocate.
We can't do it on our own.
Yeah, we're going to continue to advocate.
If this was a list of contractors, and let's say it's 117 or whatever, mm-hmm. right? Okay, so that's 117 contractors mm-hmm. that could go to government and could rally for this. Mm-hmm. But the clientele out there is way more
way
than
more
117.
Than
you're probably looking at hundreds of thousands yeah. of clients mm-hmm. that could actually go to the government on our behalf, mm-hmm. right?
Hey.
And say, listen, we need to be protected, and I understand that this act protects yeah. us. Mm-hmm. Help us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a part of it. So mm-hmm. today's show, we're talking about the size, the scale, the scope of construction services in the country. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the importance of appreciating that construction is more than just the craftsmanship. It's mm-hmm. more than just the persons who operate and run businesses. And mm-hmm. I want to talk about the business of construction a little bit, too. What you don't see on the surface, too, if there's a hurricane coming, mm-hmm. the same preparations you're doing to your home, the contractor mm-hmm. should do to his business space. Mm-hmm. Okay. Normal dry weather, no hurricane coming. I got 2x4s, 2x6s, materials around my lay-down yard, all that stuff. Hurricane coming? I got to tie them down. I got to strap them down.
Either that,
secure,
you gotta, or you got to go find them later.
Yeah, or you go find them later. So, you know, like there's things that they have to do
yeah.
to ensure that they're laid on yards, and most of us have one, mm-hmm. doesn't become a danger. The people right. around them, a 2x4 flying in the air mm-hmm. at 200 miles per hour could do a lot of damage.
Right, but even if you're at a stage where you've got windows and doors and stuff, you have to protect the windows and doors of
yeah.
the house as well. You have yeah. to batten down that as well mm-hmm. as your own. So if you're doing four jobs and you got your own house and you got your office,
you've got a lot of things to do.
A lot of things to do,
yeah.
yes.
You may have to shut down your normal activities mm-hmm. just to secure the properties you're working on.
You would have to.
Then secure your house if
right.
your parents are still alive. Mm-hmm. Then secure their home.
Right.
You could spend a whole week just
yeah.
making ready for a hurricane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so that's the, and for businesses too. Mm-hmm. So now you're doing your preparation, securing mm-hmm. the projects you're working on. Mm-hmm. And someone calls, I got 40 windows at this building mm-hmm. on Markey Street or whatever,
right.
and I need them secure as good in a hurricane impact. All of a sudden now you picked up a job during hurricane week to go secure this building
right.
while you have other projects. So I can tell people all that. It's very dynamic, the space of construction. Mm-hmm. It's very dynamic. Now, post-storm, mm-hmm. you got to bring things back, take things off, and then you get 15 calls. Someone's roof needs to reshingle.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Windows are damaged. Mm-hmm. I need to replace them.
Yeah.
And this whole economy starts to happen mm-hmm. around one single event that mm-hmm. happens every year. But anyway, we can park and load that for one second.
Yeah.
I want to go to a conversation that I had with a friend. And they say he's a friend of mine, good friend of mine. He's on the radio as well.
Okay.
I won't call his name.
Okay. Can we guess? No, I'm just joking. I'm just teasing.
He disagreed with a Facebook post what I did about my view. Mm-hmm. My view is, and I said this, you can go to my Facebook page and look at it. I thought it would have been a better use of $80+ million. If I have this budget to spend.
Oh, 40 hurricane shelters.
Rather than a bridge. Mm-hmm. At $5 million to shelter. Uh-huh. Spend that money on creating hurricane shelters in the Southern Bahamas. Mm-hmm. Here's why. Mm-hmm. And my logic to him was, mm-hmm. you're flying people and going through all this hassle back and forth from their island.
We got some at my church.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Running from a storm mm-hmm. from the place where they live when the thought should have been, and I just got it, should have been, you can shelter in place in a purpose-built structure. So one of the unnerving things people have to do is that I went away from my island.
And then they got to get back.
Then I have to get back. Then I have to go look and figure out what my house, what the state of it.
And has anybody ransacked my house
exactly.
and all kinds of stuff? I mean, it's just, and what about my cats and my dogs?
And all that stuff. What uh-huh. I'm saying, in 2025, man, where hurricane is a part of the life of the Bahamas.
Yes. Every year, starting June, I start counting and thanking God at the end of each month. Thank you, God, 1 month free.
We shouldn't mm-hmm. be moving people out of a storm except for to a shelter. Mm-hmm. We should not be transporting persons from Miguana to New Providence, uprooting their lives. It would be so much easier if they just jump in their cars and drive to a shelter. You only got with 40, 50 people on the island.
Mm-hmm.
But his argument then was, that's too much money. You'll spend $1 million in the ground. No, you can spend $5 million on a shelter. You built one already in Abaco. Mm-hmm. Let me make this point. And I want to say this publicly. I'm an Asuvian. You're an Asuvian.
Mm-hmm.
We disrespect the people on Family Islands because we don't believe they should deserve.
Oh no, that's the not right. Same. I don't feel that way.
I feel no. When I'm saying we, not we.
Oh.
The administration or the government. So because if you told me I had to move from Nassau to Abaco because the storm coming, I would find that very offensive to me.
I would too.
I would think, why wouldn't you make the space I live, the island I live on, accommodate me?
Mm-hmm.
But it's to me, that's the disrespect. That's the I'm in Nassau. Okay, there's some small island problem. Let's bring them here and pack them up for a couple of weeks. To me, we're beyond that in 2025.
But think about what government does. Let me just give you a couple examples, because like I said, we did tower bases from Inagua all the way to McLeanstown. So we've worked on these islands. So we were there in Rumkey, and we were doing the tower base there. After we left, a company called Montana something or other was going to come and do a large yachting kind of thing mm-hmm. on the northwest side of the island. So the government put in a $4 million runway
mm-hmm.
for a place that has 40-something people. Before that, we were landing our plane on a grass strip.
Mm-hmm.
But they put $4 million, and then the Montana group did not do what they were going to do. So these are the kind of things that I don't understand. You know, when foreigners are, we will do this. Mm-hmm. But when your own people are asking for a hurricane shelter that doesn't,
can't just, find
that doesn't have to be just a hurricane shelter. It can be a community center. It could be anything. Mm-hmm. It could be a basketball court. It's a multi-purpose building mm-hmm. that just happens to be hurricane-proof.
Mm-hmm.
The Family Islands deserve this just as much as anybody else. They're just as Bahamian as we are.
Yeah, but we don't treat them that way.
No.
And that's what, and I know someone's going to say, but that doesn't make sense to do because, you know,
sense to put $1.5 million tower there either. But communication has to go from all the different islands then down to South America. You know, it doesn't just stop here. It's a continuous flow.
But the point, and I agree with you, Debbie, the point I want to bring home, though, is, because we don't experience the uprooting of our lives, mm-hmm. we are technically insensitive to it.
Correct, I guess.
Debbie, when you leave from here, no matter mm-hmm. how the storm is, you're going to go home to your house.
I'm going home.
And if a hurricane comes in, you're going to shelter in place in your home.
Yeah.
You don't have to run to somewhere else.
No.
If every hurricane season, I have to move from my house to come to Nassau, that's disruptive to the lives of those individuals. And somehow we got to find that's unfair.
One lady had to stay in, I think it was Inagua, because both of her grandparents were bedridden and weren't able to move. So she actually had to stay there and weather the storm with them because she wasn't able to move them
mm-hmm.
to a hurricane mm-hmm. shelter or anywhere else.
I mean,
so these are stories that, you know, you've been hearing.
If a hurricane shelter was on the island, she could have got a transport to the shelter.
She could have, yes.
But there's none on the island.
No.
We got to get past the factors. We got to get past saying there's no hurricane shelter on an island.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that may sound idyllic, but if you look at the price tag, and I said, $80 million you spend on a bridge, you could get 40 shelters sold that. What's more important to you? And someone said, you and I had this conversation. Mm-hmm. I don't disagree that they need a glass window bridge.
Mm-hmm.
I agree that they need a bridge.
Yeah.
I also agree that these islands need shelters.
Yes.
Figure it out.
Yes.
You can't tell me that you're weighing bridge and 10 islands will have shelters. To me, you got to think, okay, 10 islands, one island.
And we still have one shelter in Abaco that is still not even finished after 5 years.
Well, it is. Opened it now.
Oh, they did?
Last week. They opened last week.
Oh, wonderful.
Celebrations, okay. Yes.
5 years later.
5 years
Thank
later.
Thank God we did.
It's just in time for Melissa. So we're happy for that. So one, we have 17 more Family Islands to go.
Grand Bahama. I mean, I feel so
none
bad.
In Grand Bahama.
I feel so bad for Grand Bahama.
They're, none
they
in
don't
Grand
have
Bahama.
A, their airport is horrible. Everything is horrible because nothing has been fixed
yeah.
since Dorian.
Yeah.
It's almost like they're an outside child.
They
you
are.
Know, let's just throw something at them every once in a while. We'll
they are.
We'll tease them with the hotel that's going to get sold, and they're going to do this and they're going to do that. And at the end of the day, 5 years later,
nothing. So that's our bit about what we believe construction can do to improve the lives, and until we see it happening,
mm-hmm.
and again, that will change how they respond to hurricanes as well, because no longer are they going to live in a fractured sense that they have to be able to jump up and go.
Correct.
Like you say, they're in your church. They're from Miguana. You're in Nassau.
Mm-hmm.
What if you don't have family here? So you're just siloed into this building.
See, that's what happened. Out of the 1,400, I think they said 17 or 19 went to New Providence Community Church, and 19 or some or 20 went to another church.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But they're not from Nassau.
Yeah.
You
and
know?
Some people don't have family here
yeah.
anymore. You know, if you've been there long enough, your family's all there.
All there. So,
yeah.
again, we just, the construction provides solutions. Let's use solutions. I'll say this one thing about me observing government. Governments could always find money to do the things they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
The reasons why I say that, mm-hmm. if I said a building should cost 11 and I end up spending 22, I found 11 more. That's two shells right now. So every time my friend tells me about, $5 million is a lot of money, for somehow, every time they do a project, they find twice as much to do the project. So that's important to them. We got a call. Let's take this call. Call your life. Go ahead.
Hello? Can't hear you.
Call are you live? Yeah. Okay, we lost a call. Call back, please.
And you know, I'm sure we could probably find private sector persons or entities that would come in and build hurricane shelters,
I'm sure
community
would.
Centers, and this and that.
I'm sure they would.
But then they would own them.
They would own them.
These are things that,
that
the government should own, because it's the government is protecting their own people.
People yeah.
And then they could also have a place where people could actually play basketball or volleyball or something.
And again, here's the other flip side of that. They now have in Nassau Village, and they have one being built in Centerville,
mm-hmm.
Hurricane/Community Center. Again,
yes.
In Nassau, though.
Yes, I know.
We love us so much that we totally don't care about the Family Islands. Call you live. Go ahead.
How you doing?
I'm well.
Oh, I'm enjoying the show as usual.
Thank you.
I love my coffee and still think it's the best show we had so far.
I think so, too.
Thank you so much.
No, man, I always tell you, y'all got the best show. You're all nailing it all the time. But the conversation that you are having today, you know, I look at our government and the legislation that they have, and they use these school buildings that they don't even make sure that they are structurally sound to hold persons in.
Mm-hmm.
In my community, where there are 5,000 voters,
mm-hmm.
they have one shelter that only can hold 200 people. Come on, man.
That doesn't make any sense.
Wow.
Does it?
That don't make no sense in the community. I've been saying, when you look at all the shelters, when I add them up on the total thing, they only can hold about, 5,000 to 6,000 persons?
All the shelters, yeah.
And we have what? 300?
On this island.
Almost 200 some persons in Nassau.
Yeah, 1,000 mm-hmm. on this island alone.
On this island in Nassau alone.
Oh,
so I think there needs to be greatest legislation to build something comprehensible
mm-hmm.
that could withstand the conditions that we're going to have to
mm-hmm.
live in. Because we're just the only place we have to live in.
That's it.
Regardless of what.
This is it.
So us having this ideology that we have to run from island to island to move to evacuate, it's just nonsensical, because
yeah,
if a hurricane comes instead of the entire Bahamas, where could we run?
It's almost like if you know people that have planes and boats, right? When a hurricane's coming, they start saying, okay, well, I'm going to fly to Florida, and then they watch where it goes. Oh, I'm going to go to Georgia.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm going to go to North Carolina, and they just keep moving.
Moving their boats.
I mean, that's kind of like what I feel like we do with our
mm-hmm.
Family Island people.
The government should, with persons like you, because your show helped me a lot with that pinking stuff. Oh, man, I did a great job from that.
Oh, good.
Thank you. Oh, we're happy to hear that.
Yes.
You guys did an amazing job with the information from that, and I had me a jolly time doing the job.
you're one of the few people say you had a jolly time painting, because I can tell you I don't like to paint.
I had a jolly time doing knowing that I get the information from.
Okay,
yeah.
I don't like to paint.
Place, and I got what I need to get from Sherry Williams, and I went straight to work on it.
Oh, awesome!
That's
the
awesome
information that the guy went on the show and with y'all was like just what I needed.
Good.
That's great. We're
glad
like,
to hear that.
What, like I tell you, shows like this is what the because in the time, like what we're looking at now, there's also the hurricane, then there's the aftermath.
That's the aftermath.
That's
yeah.
the worst part, the cleanup.
When persons would need to know how to repair or mm-hmm. take care of their homes. Mm-hmm. Take care of their homes.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
This is pivotal in a time like this for shows like this because mm-hmm. after the hurricane, there's also the repair.
The repair. The cleanup. Yeah, the
and
whole
the cleanup.
Thing.
And yes. then you would like to know where you could, some things you can do yourself and how to get about it. And they should listen to these shows because at the end of the day, we are living in a hurricane zone.
We are living
we
in
are definitely
and we cannot
living.
Duck it for nothing else. No. We may miss one, hit one, whatever. But there's always the concept of having persons like yourself and the government need to pay a stronger attention to what we are dealing with.
Yeah.
And the way how they assess us and building these so-called shelters.
Mm-hmm.
Right on the farm, the island, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And take some guidelines from persons who have the experience, because lawyers don't know everything. Carpenters don't know everything. Mechanics know everything.
No.
Together we can work together.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Make the whole, absolutely.
Yes.
Come I agree
100%. Approach. But I am enjoying your show with a cup of coffee and some donuts right now.
Thank you for calling, man. I appreciate
right
your
now,
call all the time.
This is me, guys. It's one of the best shows that anybody could ever listen to right now.
I
so
think
don't
so.
Think that
I love
you're not
you
being
that.
Listening to. You're being listening to.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks.
So I can tell you right now, you're hitting it on the head with me.
All right. Thank you. We're nailing it. So, yeah, and we thank you for that call. We really appreciate the feedback. And like the caller said, you know, if there is a relationship between the government and the Contractors Association, we could share and make the Bahamas a better place. We got another mm-hmm. caller. Let's take this mm-hmm. call right now. Caller, you're live. Go ahead.
Yeah, Debbie and Leonard, how y'all doing?
We doing good.
Great, thank you.
I agree with the caller. But I agree also with you, Leonard. In the Defense Force builds a base down there in Inagua.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, they didn't build a hurricane shelter base like for them. Inagua only have one settlement, Machu Town.
I know. True.
They couldn't build something for the Defense Force.
No.
And the people them and all too.
The Defense
and
Force then, have to evacuate from the island as well.
Wow.
That
the
don't make any sense, does it?
Boy, what a backward country.
Cause we are.
You could have built like a big hangar, like something too, for the people. And something like the whole, your car. You could bring your car mm-hmm. or your 15-foot mm-hmm. wheeler. You put it in there and secure it. So when the storm over,
mm-hmm.
you still got your transportation to
There's
move
a,
around.
Yeah.
Or you got your boat
Great
to go
idea.
Fishing and go back and do your wake. If your hose gear break down or mm-hmm. something, you can still have a little something you could put in this hangar.
Mm-hmm.
Only one settlement. Like you say, if it's 45 people.
That's plenty.
Dying much.
Exactly.
Well, Inagua has a bit more, know? But still, it's not
yeah.
a lot of people.
It's not a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not a lot of people.
You know, the money would they got Bahamas, yeah, then broke. Flying down, up down there, and coming back up, and got to go back
down and coming back up.
40 people at a time.
And people back to make it and come back, man. It go be more than $1 million, mm-hmm. I
yep.
think, for the shelter anyhow.
When you yeah. get the bill, yep.
Yeah.
Right. And then the Defense Force can need to protect their stuff,
mm-hmm.
their generators
yes.
and their stuff
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
their little wheelers
yeah.
and their little everything
mm-hmm.
and things like that, too. So it'll make more sense if they spend all their money for base down there. Make one solid hurricane
okay,
and
shelter
then
base. Yeah, that makes sense.
Someone could come over for May Gwana or something and go on if they don't put one. If they say the island's too close like that, they could just yes, well, a charter could fly them over here. It's coming over here to Nassau. Anyway,
I
y'all
totally
guys
agree.
Keep up the good work.
Thank
man.
You.
Awesome. Thank you for
just
your call,
man.
Thank
when,
you.
When
I
we
need
build,
the right people to run it.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
When we build anything in this country, it should be a hurricane
shelter,
whether it's a home, a business, or whatever.
Everything.
There's no reason why we can't do that.
We got next caller. Let's take this call. Call you live.
Hey, brother Sans, how you doing, my brother?
I'm well.
Hey, Debbie.
Yes.
You're all right? I can see my mind. Just let me speak because I can join to you on like I obviously before. What lady name who, I forget her name. She educated woman. Man. She let us do a course. I mean, I had to spend some money to get a course for the papers. You go by Urban Newell.
Okay.
By Urban Newell, right?
Yes.
I can speak because my taxpayer's money. I qualify to work, you know.
I yes.
need no mobilization. I get mm-hmm. to my work.
Mm-hmm.
Woman that can't read a plan.
Oh.
All the foreigners.
That happens. Unfortunately, that
that's
happens.
That's wrong.
That is wrong.
I had a job at the government. And I had a job for many weeks. I don't build houses no more from the ground no more. Because, see, I'm a builder. Anybody can say they can track this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's our problem in this country. I'm telling you, I come from government high school, can read my plan from technical join. Mm-hmm. Then she became a lawyer and an cash with the American companies, Winkle everybody, master builder.
Yeah.
You see, but this country is so messed up.
So let me ask you a question.
And our father said so weak.
Let me ask you a question, caller. How do you feel about the fact that you're this master craftsman, master builder,
master
have all this experience,
master craftsman,
and you do not have a contractor's license to separate yourself from the guy who just died yesterday? How do you feel about that?
My point is, right? See, my thing is, see, and let me tell you how BMW go. Oh, all this stuff is bad. If I do a job and people inside, if I go and do my job, I learn because we go. I learn because we go. I can go and make sure you happy. I can speak to you, tell you, talk, let's do this and let's do that. The country's going to rob. Or even the world finish, pen them finish. All of them, even the end of the worst chairman of the history of the
Bahamas. You can't call the man name and make a statement about him in that way without him having an opportunity to respond. So I hear your comments. I appreciate you calling the show, but you have to be careful because he may be or he may not be. It may be a matter of opinion. But I think we understand the point you're saying. There's a lot of things that we can do that we don't do, and there's a lot of craftsmen out there who feel very passionate and strong about opportunities that don't happen for them, and they have the skill, and others who don't have the skill are seemingly having the work. So...
Mm-hmm.
These are the things that I think we could continue to talk about and advocate for things to be different.
And also the fact that, you know, we're going to continue with our education process that we're doing.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we do need to do is go over how to actually read a plan.
Here's the thing what I have with Debbie with that. If we have to teach contractors who in the contracting space how to read plan, they shouldn't be in the contracting
but
space.
A lot of the people that
they
took that course, but a lot of the people that took that course were not contractors. They wanted to learn how to do
that.
The business.
But that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to cut someone open because I didn't go to medical school. Hence, I'm not running a medical practice. So for me, if you want to know it and get to it, yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. So you need to get trained in doing that and get the skill set, but... Don't take on work where you know you don't have the capacity.
No, correct, correct. But I'm just saying, we could spend 1 hour of a course just going over a simple plan.
Yeah, and you could probably teach the basics.
The homeowner would even want to know that.
Yeah, you could teach the basic of it, but I wouldn't use that as a.
I'm not talking about a 50-page plan.
No,
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking a simple 2 or 3 page plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to dash our first break. So call us. Keep calling in, and we'll be back right after this break.
When we started StormFrame Windows in 1999, we wanted to fabricate an impact-rated product to compete with the Florida market, and we've done this. There's no fabricator or vendor from Florida that can do what we can in the Bahamas. Because we fabricate locally and we're a local-based company, we have that capability to provide better customer service than our competitors. With all the worldwide supply chain issues, we at StormFrame have improved our fabrication process and have invested in stock to be able to produce our orders in 4 weeks. We also keep in stock over 400 windows and doors at standard sizes for walk-in customers to purchase. Our professional sales staff is here to assist you with the complete purchase and installation. We also service and ship to the Outer Islands.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas!
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
Paint Suppliers invites you to our 2026 Color and Design Trend Show featuring Pittsburgh Paints, an exclusive evening of color, creativity, and what's next in design. Join us on the evening of November 13th for a vibrant showcase of the shades and styles that will define 2026. Tickets are free, but seats are limited, so stop by Paint Suppliers on Shirley Street in the Jolly Roger Building to pick up yours today or call 393-2836 to find out more. Your home can look fabulous. Let Paint Suppliers show
you how.
Imagine holding the keys to your first home. Not someday, today. At Family Guardian, your dream is closer than you think. With competitive interest rates as little as 5% down for first-time buyers and construction loans for house and lot packages, your future begins now. Don't wait. With fast approvals and lot loans up to 15 years, your opportunity won't last forever. Call 396-4040 in Nassau or 688-1500 in Freeport. Family Guardian is where your home journey begins.
You know about the big yellow machines. You've probably heard about our big yellow engines, maybe even seen our reliable yellow generator sets light up your world. But if that's all you know about Machinery and Energy Limited, then you're missing out. We are yellow iron and so much more. We are multiple product lines, construction equipment, forklifts, marine engines, aerial equipment, and light towers. We are parts, service, equipment sales, and rentals. Visit one of our branches in Nassau, Freeport, or Abaco for your construction and power generation needs, because we're built for it.
Since independence, the Bahamas Development Bank has been mandated to expand our nation's economy. We invest in Bahamian companies from Grand Bahama to Inagua. Our clients come from all sectors of local industry, from manufacturing, agriculture, to the creative industries, to the mailboat that brings it all to you. We are always looking for the next great opportunity to invest in creativity, innovation, and sustainability. Visit our website today to apply.
When you're building renovation projects, are go. Go Pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. Find unbeatable prices, unmatched service, and an expanded selection of building essentials. Drywall and plywood, tools and thinset, insulation and hardware too. It's all at CBS Pro Store. Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and industry professionals in the know can now go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store, 103 Robinson Road.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And we're back. Welcome back to Nailed It on Guardian 96.9 FM. I want to throw out those numbers again for a person to participate in the lively conversation that we're having today. The numbers are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. And from the family islands that we love here on Guardian 96.9 is 242-300-5720. Text line powered by BTC, if you want to join via text, is 422-4796. That's 422-4796.
And I would like to thank all of our sponsors who make this show possible. So today we have ART Development, we have Bahamas Safety Solutions, Family Guardian, Bahamas Development Bank, which is a new sponsor of ours. We're very pleased to have them. Sherwin-Williams, and a new one today, Paint Suppliers.
All the paint companies, all the paint companies are now a part of
bring in my Zinsser Watertight that I use. I bought 2 gallons in the last 2 weeks. So
And we're very happy and thankful for the support, especially of our paint supplying community, because now we have all of the major paint suppliers on the island supporting the Nailed It Show, which I think is a fantastic thing.
I love it. I love it.
Devin and I were just talking about out island life, and you know, and this may be the only kind of show where we get to show love to persons who don't live in New Providence. And I think sometimes they don't have the considerations we have. The main hospital is here. The main central police station, the CID office, everything is here for us. And nothing is hardly there for them. And on some of the islands, they get most of the some of the things, not all of them. But whatever we can do to make the lives of people better, then we should. Now, we're not throwing all this on the feet of government. But we are saying, though, like Debbie asked, I don't understand why you recognize the vulnerability of those islands. And whatever you build there, make it hurricane resilient. You just,
it doesn't
that should
make
be
sense.
Like the 101. You got to do that.
It has to be that way. It's not like, well, we may not get another hurricane for another 50
years. No, we know it's going to happen.
We know
it. It's going to happen.
And I don't know about you, but I just kept waiting for the wind. When is the wind coming here? Are we going to get rain again? And,
exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
So we know these things are normal. So
this is a given.
Yeah. But now what I do like, and I want to talk about, we talk about what wasn't great and what what I do like, is the fact that now we see an area like Centerville. They're doing a three-story, very nicely.
RBC.
No, the hurricane shelter. That's just behind the Williams barbershop. And it's...
I don't go to a
just
barbershop.
Before,
so
okay,
you have to help
there.
Me.
But if you're on East Street and Lily of the Valley corner, mm-hmm. there's right on the corner, there's a light and the barbershop. And right behind the barbershop is a three-story structure.
Oh, okay.
Okay, what I like about that, and I'm going to talk about that construction, is that two things. They're using fiber rebar. Mm-hmm. Shout out to ART Development, because
yes.
I know that's where they got it
yes.
from.
Uh-huh.
Secondly, all the windows are impact resistant.
Perfect.
Awesome. But thirdly, that shelter is in the community where around there's a lot of timber and clapboard houses and very vulnerable structures.
Right.
So in the event that there's a Category 4, Category 5 storm, those persons could literally walk out of their home structures and walk right into that hurricane shelter. I think that's the model of hurricane shelters, not only in Nassau, in the Family Islands. People should be able to make a decision, you know what, my house isn't sturdy enough. Let me collect me and my family, and then I could walk to the shelter.
So who is building this hurricane shelter? The government is building
it? The government
this?
Is building it, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So that's
and
in Nassau.
And what else?
They already built one inside Nassau Village. So
and
that's
what,
two.
All right. So what are they planning on using it for besides just a hurricane shelter?
It's a multi-purpose functional building.
It is.
So it serves
okay.
as a community center.
But,
and so those are positive
but
things.
But you know what I don't understand? Why don't they announce that? I haven't heard about that. I haven't heard about either of those hurricane shelters.
Well,
I'm nosy.
They made quite a bit of mention of one in the Nassau Village because I knew about from when they started. Bahamas Striping was one of the contractors. The one inside Centerville, the member of Parliament, Jomo Campbell, spoke about it just a little, but they didn't do much PR about it. Let's run the call. Let's see
sure.
what we got to call us. Call you live. Go ahead.
Good evening again, Mr. Sanson, Debbie.
Yes,
good.
Yes, sir.
I born in Gobi Street. I teach everybody. See, all my callers, but I see about everybody that they own boards. Master carpenter, master mason, master everything there.
Mm-hmm.
And Jomo Campbell doing a good job there, excellent job there. But if I big one, that's where we go in GNN, the barber, and cut and shave
yes.
my hair
there. Yes. Yep, that's Williamson
exactly,
Barbershop.
And like you say, I think they put in the pool there also.
And they put in the pool, okay.
Yeah,
I didn't know they put in the pool.
A pool can also, right? Because I've seen a long time. And that's pretty much 80% of people can't swim. But they be like I say, right? We get a success country, man.
Mm-hmm.
See,
yeah.
what the politicians got to understand, I ain't scared no politician, no police, no commercial police, because our country finishing them. This country, when America say, they don't say, Pierre Big grew up, we have to grow up, you know. They say, behemoth grew up. I ain't grow up. I take a lot of people my share.
It's some of us, though.
Don't
it's some of us.
I spend a lot of my money. Now, science, now you know, I know you a long time.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. Boy, look here. This country, half people hating. Company ain't paying nobody the money. Construction work for 2 or 3 months, can't get paid.
That's a long time.
That's
we
wrong.
Owed money.
That is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then you talk to the go get your measure. Yeah, we can have them you know, pay all the contractors, the money, pay all the police. Depends on people who owe money. Because look here. But Linda Wilson and Kiki, for example, you had my friends, you know. We didn't share the country down, you know. You
no.
want to send me to run them out of this country, you know.
Yeah. You can't run them out of the country. You can't run them out of the country because there's us. There's us.
Hey, go on.
All right, man. Thank you for your call again, man. I appreciate it. I just want to read this text message. Text message says, love nailed it. You both deserve a seat at our table in my house. And hey, the shelter is on Ross Corner. So thank you for the correction.
I know
it's
Ross
on Ross Corner. Yes.
But you see, since I don't go to the barber.
No, you have no reason to go to the barber. And
know.
We do not encourage you to start going to the barber.
Please, God, no.
So that's the model. And
wow.
Again, it's a very nice building.
Mm-hmm.
From what I see, it's being
It's not the Centerville would be an area that floods, but at least you do have an opportunity. If there is any, you're up.
Yeah, but that, even in high flooding, that street corner never floods right there.
Yeah.
If you go further east through the corner, now you get some flooding.
Yeah.
But I like to think about, and I really look at it, that area has a lot of vulnerable homes around it because, again, a lot of the homes still around that area is wooden.
Yeah.
And they have gone through all the storms, but I think, you know, you can't rely on that to last forever.
Right.
So if they have to shelter somewhere, at least the shelter is close.
One good thing is that when wooden houses were built back in the day,
they were
built by boat builders because they were really the only ones who really knew how to deal with wood. Mm-hmm. And because of that, they knew how to deal with the fact of winds and everything. And because when you're building a boat, you've got to make sure that it can deal with the water and the wind, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why a lot of these buildings, 1700, some of them in Hope Town and Harbor Island and Spanish Wells.
And still there. With roofs intact.
Yes. Yes.
and no
hurricane clips because there was no such thing.
Yeah, there was hurricanes.
They did something different besides a hurricane clip. Maybe a metal strap.
Maybe it was a strap.
Yeah.
Or they're boat builders.
That's
they might
true.
Have figured out how to nail and tow it and raise that.
Yes, like we do a drawer.
Yeah, these guys are very skilled. We got the next call. Let's take this call, see what you have to say. Call you live.
Yeah, good night. I want to get your number. I want to talk to you about something.
Yeah, that's fine. You can call me at 376-8383.
What it is?
376-8383.
8383?
Yep.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome. No problem at all. And I often do that very easily.
That's too easy to remember.
Yeah, it is very easy. But I tell people before, I tried to hide. I cannot. Somehow people always could find me. So,
well, I don't mind giving up my number. Like the lady called me about the door things, right?
Yeah.
So what I did is I couldn't find the one that I already made. I know it's in there. I knew the minute I spent the money on doing it again, I would find it, right? So I made one and I sent a picture of it and explained to her how actually to make it. And I had two or three other people. And I know somebody else who's already built one.
Oh, well,
so
that's good.
It's simple.
So I want us to take in everything that people are saying about what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of concern, and this is what I love about our country. We know the challenges, and we also have solutions. Part of the solutions, I believe, isn't coming fast enough, but I think the government knows what the solutions are. Hence, the reason why they're building shelters in Nassau. I'm saying we need to see that same level of shelter building in the family islands because Nassau can support each other because we've got a lot of friends and family here. If something happened to your house, Debbie, you could go to your daughter's house.
Right.
You get a friend you could go to.
Mm-hmm.
The vulnerable people in the family islands in the Southern Bahamas, they don't have those kind of securities that we could easily run
to. And if you're right, there's like three islands that are right next to
each other.
Two of them are actually bridged, right? So you could actually
put
one shelter there for now. There's a hurricane shelter that they could all
go to. Because it's a small community.
Right. And then later on, you could build another.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a wonderful idea.
Yeah.
Or, like one of the callers suggested too, rather than flying people all the way to Nassau, put a shelter inside Exuma. It's still southern.
Right.
So you could bring the person from Miguana or Acklands up to Exuma, not all the way to Nassau. It's still better than the trek all the way to New Providence, the center of the country.
Yeah.
So there are solutions that I think, as we continue to deal with hurricanes, which we will always deal with, how do we make life better knowing that hurricanes will impact our life every year?
Right.
And that's the one thing we know as children to now adults. We will have hurricanes in this country. We live in a hurricane zone.
Most of us don't really like to leave our homes during a hurricane.
No, I want to shelter in place.
We have animals and we have, you know, we just want to make sure that everything is safe.
Safe and secure.
We also have to look and see where the weaknesses are too, you know, because once you build a house, you have to make sure that everything is always good. And sometimes you look at your roof and your roof looks good, but maybe it's not.
Be good.
I mean, the hurricane clips might be there, but... Mm-hmm. shingles and plywood might need replacing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like going to the dentist, and the dentist says, I got good news and bad news. The good news is your teeth are great, but the bad news is the gums are no good.
When do you do that?
Uh-oh.
But no, I see. So that's a part of us understanding where we live. Mm-hmm. There's a part of us appreciating that we have to make sure that we kind of maintain our environment as best as possible. And then thirdly, what we need to do is appreciate that if my neighbor house is falling down next to mine and there could be projectiles flying from that neighbor house, I just as well help that neighbor make their house secure.
You might as well.
Because the only thing's going to happen is the stuff is going to, of their house, it's going to fly onto mine. And we don't need that. Another consideration during this time where we're going to have a lot of raining, and this is another conversation I had on Facebook about the use of sandbags. And Debbie, I know how you feel about it. It's the same way I feel about it.
They don't work.
I said it.
They do not
work. I said it, but I was rebutted by a member of parliament who said that it is a national standard in Florida for the slowing down of water. Now, I'm not going to agree because he sent me the spec and I got to go on my Facebook page. And I understand that. Mm-hmm. But I think what they don't appreciate is that the slowing of water doesn't stop the water from coming in.
Right.
It slows it. That's fine.
But
our challenge isn't with slow water. Water is coming into your house, it's going to still flood your house.
If you know anything about a leak, if you have a pinhole,
that
pinhole will be a little drip. But I'll tell you what, if you get continued rain, that will be a flood.
Flood. Eventually.
Yes.
We got the next call. Let's take this call. Call you live. Go ahead.
Hello. Good evening, Debbie Deb.
There you go.
Hi.
And I hear music makes me dance.
Hey.
I'm Leonard.
Hey, how are you, sir?
I'm okay. It's Dennis Battle the Q.
Yes.
Several things. You mentioned that the Hurricane shelter in Abaco has been completed. Aaron, the other morning, went through that report, and they were saying the first phase, infrastructure for the first phase of that park and shelter, when you reach it, check it out yourself, has been complete, which was a $1.5 million started to be sheltered at a balloon to, what, $4.5 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if they had $1.5 million, they ain't finished that phase yet, but it's only the first phase.
It's open, but not complete.
Another thing.
Mm-hmm.
You all know the name of Basil McIntosh?
Yes.
I absolutely do.
He used to be an engineer.
He is an engineer.
Sorry. I mean, I used to use him as an engineer, but he's now...
the current member of parliament for the Mike Isle constituency.
Yes.
Okay, you see?
Mm-hmm.
Now, him being an engineer, and I guess he's on his way out and not qualified to run for this administration, whatever, and considered, most people don't even know his qualifications. I do.
I do as well.
Contractors would know him.
Yeah, absolutely. Contractors would know him.
Right. And in this vein, the issue of this building... Hurricane shelters in those islands. You're on point, and they had to excavate people from his hometown in Inagua.
Makes no sense.
They're saying the Defense Force personnel or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And another thing, when you say that two of those islands are bridged, Debbie,
that's not
correct.
Oh, I thought they were. There's Ragged, there's Crooked, and there's another.
No, Crooked Island and Auckland, they are ferried.
They're ferried. Okay. I thought there was a bridge.
You go on the ferry in the morning, go off the Auckland back and forth, and you come back in the evening.
Okay.
You know, it's like from Nassau to that little...
The part of
that. All right, my bad. Mm-hmm. I really thought that two of them were actually bridged, but that's my bad.
Yeah, like from Montague to that... that little key with all those... in the back of those islands.
Oh, Athol Island.
What do they call that?
Athol Island.
Yeah.
No.
Ethel Island.
Back of Rose Island with all the palm trees.
Honeymoon Island.
Yeah.
Yes, okay.
That's sort of distance.
Gotcha.
That Auckland is from Crooked Island.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha, okay.
You see, and you know,
thank you for correcting me.
Yeah, we agree with you all with building the infrastructure and everything, because I just got off the phone that the, you know, those that were left in land will probably have to go into the little Arkin shelter there, thankfully, and you know they're there. But just the point, you know, because Ben was walking the last time, everybody in the town learned that, you know, over 30 years ago, I purchased some 28 acres right outside Lambert Point, which is the only hill there.
Mm. Oh, wow.
You see what I'm saying?
That's where you need to build.
Yeah, after that, they learned that there's like, you own that property? I was like, yes, I do. Because everything around there were basically flooded out.
You better register it with this new law that's out.
Not
protect
registered. Everything I own, every property I own is registered.
Oh, great.
They know, but, you know, that, you know, and the concept of, you know, building, y'all are on point. You know what I mean? That's why I listen to y'all and everything in, on Thursday evenings, because, you know, we're dealing with an administration right now. They're touting today, you know what I mean? You listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
That this is the biggest excavation operation, I mean, for bringing people out, right?
Mm-hmm. Evacuation, yeah.
Evacuation operation.
Yeah.
But you have to just remember, man, we're dealing with a fly-out administration, and anything to fly out from Bermuda to Uganda and everything, that's their operation motive. So, they, I mean, I don't know what we can get from them when it comes to talking about building Arkin shelters. I got to check on my cousins in the south.
Yeah, call them, make sure they're good.
But they're all on point.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So, thank you
so
very much.
Much
for your call, man. Appreciate
we
it always.
Appreciate it.
So, Debbie, parting words about resiliency, preparedness for not only the Bahamas, but especially our brothers and sisters on the Family Islands.
I don't know about you, but I was always terrified when a storm was coming because I really did not know how well my house would fare. I have, like I told you, I need like 26 windows. I've only replaced two to the impact insulated windows. Mm-hmm. But I do now have, I started off with like the plywood and then I did the 1x4s and then now I have Bahama shutters on all my windows. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I feel a bit safer now, but it's taken me years to get to that point. But at the time when I started, I didn't know anything about hurricanes.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, one just shows up. And I think, oh, my God. And then after that, I thought, yeah, there's something to be afraid of here.
Yeah.
You know, so that's, I can understand why people get terrified before a storm. And I can understand why people who have been in an area that has majorly flooded and you can't get out and you can't go anywhere, I can understand that.
I think we have to
be a little bit more methodical in what we do. Instead of just rushing to do something, let's be methodical and make sure that we're taking care of A, B, C, and D.
And D. That's my thoughts. I want to encourage persons, if you're going to do new construction, think about what Debbie said. I'd prefer to spend my money on something smaller and secure than spread out. And I can't secure it possibly.
Correct.
You know, I rather have a property that I know I could shelter in place in. The roof is good. The windows are the best I can buy in terms of hurricane protection. It's elevated. And I can, that's my bunker.
Right. And if somebody else is in need, they could come and stay with you.
And they come stay. But if you make your house so massive that you got to now skimp on the important things, your windows, your roof, your structure, you don't want to do that.
No.
Because at the end of the day, your quality of life will be diminished because you're going to have this anxiety about how do I secure all these windows because I couldn't afford to get impact resistant, or I couldn't afford to put another coarser block and get a higher foundation.
Right.
You have to think about these things.
Right.
And I want to say the final
thing. Long-term.
Long-term.
Yeah.
We got a lot of calls, and I get a lot of calls personally. People want to know what advice I would give. And I often build what you need. Our lives may seem like we have a lot of stuff, and Debbie, you could attest to this, and I could tell you, the older you get, the less stuff you need. You don't need more stuff.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, a safe place to sleep, a warm place to cook, and store some food is all you really need.
Yeah.
Having 15 rooms to just shout about means there's 15 rooms for you to look to see if the window's blown in. There's 15 rooms for you to fix if there's a crack. There's 50... I just believe that we have to look at the way we live our lives.
Right.
And then design homes that fit our lives for the long term. You get 10 kids and they all move out, you can live in a 10-bedroom house by yourself.
Yeah. No.
That ain't fun. Let them bunk till they're old enough to get move out.
Yes.
But I'm honestly like, we got to stop this whole mansion approach to living on an island.
Yeah.
That's not cool to me.
I have somebody who just mentioned that they just bought a house and it's huge, but it's built badly because they ran. You could tell. She said you could tell that they ran out of money. And now these people have to fix all this stuff. So I totally agree with that.
Yeah,
I'm
into smaller. And so I encourage persons, look at tiny homes. Look at scaling your homes. And you could, like Debbie said before on the show, you could add on to it. But I'd rather start something small and build out.
Absolutely.
Rather than something big. And when you're going to break down some of the walls, you're not going to break down your home. So that's just our tidbit for the day. I want everyone to continue to listen out for Nailed It on Guardian 96.9 every Thursday from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. And continue to call in. And thank you for all the persons who called and made this show what it was today.
Yes, I so appreciate that.
Stay safe out there. And we'll see you next week.
Yeah. Thank you.
When your building renovation projects are go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. Find unbeatable prices, unmatched service, and an expanded selection of building essentials. Drywall and plywood, tools and thinset, insulation and hardware too. It's all at CBS Pro Store. Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and industry professionals in the know can now go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store, 103 Robinson Road.
Since independence, the Bahamas Development Bank has been mandated to expand our nation's economy. We invest in Bahamian companies, from Grand Bahama to Inagua. Our clients come from all sectors of local industry, from manufacturing to agriculture to the creative industries to the mailboat that brings it all to you. We are always looking for the next great opportunity to invest in creativity, innovation, and sustainability. Visit our website today to apply.
You know about the big yellow machines. You've probably seen engines, maybe even seen our reliable yellow generator sets light up your world. But if that's all you know about machinery and Energy Limited, then you're missing out. We are Yellow Island. We are multiple product lines, construction equipment, forklifts, marine engines, aerial equipment, and light towers. We are parts, service, equipment sales, and rental to Nassau, Freeport, or Abaco for your construction and power generation needs, because we're built for it.
Hey, y'all ever the new fiber steel on the map? But don't rust.
Gone are the days of cracking spoils. Now that's a very easy to install. Fiber steel is here to stay. No more repairing that break up wall. FIB's the new steel in town. No salty air would ever break down. Rust or corrosion, that's in the past. In the Bahamas, now we're built to last. Say goodbye to rust forever, man. Goodbye to corrosion by the ocean, man. Say goodbye to rust forever. No rust, no corrosion. Fiber steel in our future, brother, man. FIB's in our future.
For more information on FRP concrete reinforcement products, call our development today at 603-4506 or visit our Facebook and IG page at Our Development BFRP. Say goodbye to rust forever.
Imagine holding the keys to your first home. Not someday, today. At Family Guardian, your dream is closer than you think. With competitive interest rates as little as 5% down for first-time buyers and construction loans for house and lot packages, your future begins now. Don't wait. With fast approvals and lot loans up to 15 years, your opportunity won't last forever. Call 396-4040 in Nassau or 688-1500 in Freeport. Family Guardian is where your home journey begins.
Paint Suppliers invites you to our 2026 Color and Design Trend Show, featuring Pittsburgh Paints, an exclusive evening of color, creativity, and what's next in design. Join us on the evening of November 13th for a vibrant showcase of the shades and styles that will define 2026. Tickets are free, but seats are limited, so stop by Paint Suppliers on Shirley Street in the Jolly Roger Building to pick up yours today, or call 393-2836 to find out more. Your home can look fabulous. Let Paint Suppliers show you how.